I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
All right, go ahead and turn your Bibles this evening, if you would, to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Has it been a long week? Are you tired? I'm tired. I've had a Red Bull and a cup of coffee, and I'm still tired. So I don't know what that says, but it's not good. If I have a heart attack in the middle of service from my artificial heartbeat right now, you'll know why. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you took time out of your week in the middle of the week. And even though if you're tired, that you showed up. And man, we need the church. We cannot be what we ought to be without the church. And so I'm glad to see you here tonight. It's an encouragement to me. And I'm glad and honored to be standing here before you this evening. Over the last couple of months, I've had opportunities to preach, and I've been kind of working through a study on the Holy Spirit, been talking about a couple different things. And at first, I addressed the idea of what happens to us when we get saved and why Christians can be some of the most miserable people you've ever met. And we talked about, we exemplified with those three young men with the trichotomy of the body, is the body, soul, and spirit. And we talked about how that battle takes place and the Holy Spirit comes in and does a conversion, but oftentimes that's the Spirit of God is kind of grieved and just pushed back into a corner. And we talked about how important it is that we're Spirit-led, not led by our flesh. And so then a couple weeks later, I was able to speak again, and we talked about the idea of vexing and the your own spirit and what that means to allow the things of this world to just grieve and hinder the Holy Spirit from working in you. And tonight I want to examine the idea of the Holy Spirit once again and his role in our spiritual growth. His role in our spiritual growth. What he's trying to do to get us to where we're supposed to be. We are saved now and we understand we need to be spirit-led. We understand the influence of sin in our lives. If we have sin in our lives, it's going to hinder and it's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. But tonight, what role does the Holy Spirit take in helping us to grow spiritually the way that we ought to? And so tonight, we'll look at the idea of a playbook for spiritual growth. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity this evening. I do feel tired. I pray that you would cause my mind to be alert and awake. Lord, I also feel hindrance. And Lord, I pray that that would not be my flesh. Lord, I don't want to say something I ought not to say. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this evening to receive gladly your word. And Lord, I pray for wisdom and just your Holy Spirit to work through me. I am nothing and I understand that. And Lord, we need you this evening. I need you this evening. And so I pray that you would work in our hearts and our midst this evening, Lord. I pray that you would just use this message to be a blessing to your family. Lord, you love this church more than I ever could. Lord, you love the people of it. You've given more for it. And Lord, you want them to walk away this evening from your word encouraged. And I pray that tonight, Lord, we would all receive that from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 16, we see an instruction here given regarding the Holy Spirit and what he's going to do. And we know that Jesus is speaking to his disciples regarding the coming of the Holy Spirit shortly. And the Holy Spirit, unfortunately, in our society, by Pentecostals and those that are charismatic, kind of hijacked the idea of the Holy Spirit in a lot of ways, and have turned it into a self-serving entity, if you will. They've manipulated it into a lot of times feelings and emotions and outbursts, but the Bible describes in a lot of different ways the function of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ is going to explain that for us tonight. I'm glad we don't have to be confused by all these other religions about what God is and who he is to us, because he lays it out for us real clearly. In John chapter 16, verse number 5, it says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Man, praise the Lord for that, right? That he was going to send somebody else. He wasn't just abandoning us. And he was going to send the Comforter, capital C. I love it. Verse number 8, he says, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." So Jesus says, hey, I'm going to go, the Comforter is going to come, and he's going to do a work. He's going to begin to do a work here. And it's interesting to note that this work, it has nothing to do with us. It doesn't matter how you live your life. It doesn't matter what you do as a believer. He says, this Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to do three things. He's going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. The Lord puts no ties on the believer right there. He said the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to do those things. And I think that that's interesting. So the Holy Spirit's at work all over this world, convicting of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And he's going to work in our lives, he's going to work in the lives of the lost. Now, that doesn't put us off the hook here. There's still a great deal that he has to explain to us. And he even says to the disciples here, I have a lot more. Verse number 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. There's a lot more that I want to teach you. There's a lot more that I want you to understand. There's a lot more that I have within me that I want to get to you, but it's just not the time for that right now. Yes, the Comforter's going to come, and he's going to do a work, and I'm going to explain that work to you, and there's many more things that I want to get across to you, but I can't give that to you quite yet. And that's very true. In the Christian life, we can't take it all at once. You got to grow in stages. And we need to be careful to be patient with people to grow in stages. They're not going to understand everything all at once just like that. And the Lord even understood that, and he was their teacher. He said, I've taught you all these things. There's a lot more to learn. You're going to have to grow into this. Verse number 13. He says, howbeit. All right, he says, I have all these other things that you need to learn. Howbeit, there's going to be someone to teach you these things because I'm going away. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So I'm going away. I can't teach you. My time with you is done. I can't teach you everything I wish I could. But the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. He's going to give you some instruction. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. There, he's describing here this, and this is where I came up with the idea of a playbook, because and I'm not going to take the time because it would take me forever. I wanted to illustrate it here tonight, and I had everything set up to show it on, draw a playbook out on the screen, but we're just not going to do it. There's God, and God knows all things. He has all knowledge in him. Now, I'm not trying to separate the Godhead. We believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. But the Bible talks about how God has all things, all knowledge. And what Jesus is saying here, that he's received some things from God. He's received some knowledge from God that have flown from God to Jesus. There's a circuit of information traveling through the spiritual, through the Godhead. God with all the knowledge and all the information, the omniscience that he has, and he's given that knowledge to Jesus. And Jesus says here that I have the Holy Spirit now, and I am going to send the Holy Spirit to you so that this conduit of knowledge can continue to flow from God to you. Now that's an amazing thing. And that obviously is speaking of some pretty great depths of knowledge. To know the mind of God. Well, we can't completely know all of it, but he's given some things to Jesus. And Jesus wants to transfer those things to us through the Holy Spirit. The Godhead has always worked as a perfect pairing. We know in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, right? But later on, you go over and you read in Colossians chapter 1, you're going to see that it was Jesus that created all of those things, and without him was not anything made that was made. But you also know that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And these three things, the Godhead, when they are working in proper order, when they are working in unison, the way that they ought to be able to work, good things happened. And that's what happened in Genesis. He stepped back and he said, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Because all three of us are working together to perform this thing. A good thing. And Jesus here is speaking to his disciples. He says, hey, all that the Father hath, verse number 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. He's given these things to me. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, the Holy Spirit shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. When it comes to this playbook of spiritual growth, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is going to be the only one who can teach us certain things in our faith. Amen. The Holy Spirit. He has got to be alive and active to be able to teach us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 6, the Bible expounds for us about the teaching of the Holy Spirit and what he's going to do in our lives. In chapter 2 and verse number 6, the Bible says, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, neither of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak, Paul speaking of what he has taught to the Corinthian church, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Man, there's some hidden knowledge that can't be gotten. Only but one way he's going to say here. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. There are so many believers in the world today, so many Christians in the world today, who are constantly looking to glean more knowledge from the Word of God. There is a constant attack. What's the deal with all the different translations? There's two reasons. The devil hates God's Word, and he wants to corrupt truth. But you know what? I do believe, firmly believe in my heart, that there is a strong desire within believers to get to understand the things of God. And they can't do it. They can't get there. And so they're going and they're like, we need another translation. It's got to be simpler. And really what they're looking for is somebody to break it all down, somebody with spiritual eyes to break it all down and spell it out for them because they can't understand any of it. Even then, they don't comprehend it and therefore can't apply it. Or they won't see it as absolute truth because they'll be able to write it off as that's what a man said. But the truth of the matter is that there are many good-intentioned Christians who want different versions of the Word of God, may I say even corrupt versions of the Word of God, because they say we cannot understand the Word of God. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit that has to be able to teach us. And if we're not in a place where the Holy Spirit can instruct us, then the deep things of God, as it says here, will never become clear to us. Now that's a sad state of affairs, and that is why there is so much shallowness in Christianity today. That's why there's so many phrases thrown around like, I don't see it that way, or I don't believe this, or that's not the way I read it. Why is that? And why is it that so many believers can sit in a church, service after service, where truth is proclaimed and no change ever take place? That has often baffled me about my own life. How can you sit and listen to all those preachings and walk out of here and nothing change, Steve? What is wrong? Well, because I didn't come in with the right type of spiritual condition. These things which God hath prepared, man, the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Man, there is mysteries that God has that he wants to give to us, and no one has ever experienced those things even. But he says, I gave some of it to Jesus. And he wants to bring that to you by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you this evening, church family, you cannot grow simply by studying the Bible. By academically opening a book and gaining all the knowledge. That will actually probably more or less will just frustrate your Christian endeavors. There's so many people that say, I'm just not getting anything out of the book. I'm not growing. I sit in service and I'm just like, oh, okay, good service. I go home and I read the Bible every day, but nothing's standing out to me. You know why? There's too much carnality. There's too much carnality in our lives for us to understand. You can try all the logic and you can try all the reason to understand the Word of God, but if they are not delivered to you by the Spirit of God, you will not comprehend. First Corinthians chapter 2, you're there already. Would you look at verse number 13? Paul continues to talk about this learning that comes by the Holy Spirit, and he says, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Man, how often do we fail at that? We pick up the book and we compare it with what other believers are doing and we say, oh, must be all right. But he says, no, when you get in this place where the Spirit's teaching you, you compare spiritual to spiritual. You look at yourself and then you compare against this book, the very Word of God, Jesus Christ, God in flesh, right? This is his word right here. Verse number 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. It is the Holy Spirit of God that teacheth us. You want a playbook for spiritual growth, you have got to begin with the idea that it is nothing that I can do academically. If I want to get to the deep things, if I want to understand these truths, if I want to be able to make application to my heart and my life, it has got to be the Holy Spirit of God that brings them to me. So then the question comes up this evening, how can I make sure I'm there? How can I make sure I'm in a place where the Holy Spirit can teach me? Would you go back to John chapter 16 with me? Right in the middle of this instruction where the Lord is talking about the conduit of truth that's come from God the Father to Jesus and from Jesus passed off to the Holy Spirit to hand to us, I believe that there is a key phrase in there that will help us to be in the place we should be to grow the way we ought to grow. Verse number 13 said, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself." Listen to this. The Holy Spirit's not going to speak of himself. Now this is to me is interesting because we often talk about the Holy Spirit moving in us. It's the Holy Spirit moving in us. And he is moving in you, but he's not moving to elevate himself in you. And that's what Pentecostals and Charismatics do. The Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. Oh, I got the Holy Spirit. They'll be up on the pulpit. They'll be speaking in tongues, all these other things. I got the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says here that when the Holy Spirit's trying to teach us something, he's not going to speak of himself. He's not going to speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He's going to say what I tell him to say, Jesus speaking. What he's going to say, he's going to get it from me. And he will show you things to come. He's going to reveal them. Listen, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Man, I want that. I want the Holy Spirit to receive and I want him to show it to me. I want those two things. Holy Spirit of God, teach me. And there's been so many times in my own life, and I can testify with clarity on this idea, where I have been stagnant, like, where is it at? And I've wanted the Holy Spirit to teach me. But you can't have step two and three without step one, the Holy Spirit receiving and then showing. There was the first step there. Verse number 14, that first phrase, he shall glorify me. He shall glorify me. Can I say this evening that pride is more than just a great destroyer? It is the hindrance of you growing in your spiritual life. Amen. And what Jesus Christ is saying here, he's saying, hey, what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes to teach you? He's going to receive some things from me and he's going to show them unto you. But first, before any of that happens, he is going to glorify me. He's going to lift me up. He's going to exalt me, Jesus Christ. In your life, when you know the Holy Spirit is at work, what you should have seen first is Christ lifted up. Is that not what happened at the first fruits of your salvation? The Holy Spirit came and convicted you, and you saw yourself compared to Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What happened? We compared ourselves to Jesus Christ. Said, you know what? I can never match up. I'm a wicked, wretched sinner. There is no good in me. I cannot get to heaven. I can do no good thing. I cannot earn this on my own. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And we see ourselves for who we truly are, a sinner. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes and does a redemptive work that we've already illustrated here in service. He does a redemptive work in our heart. And through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, we're made children of God. That's an amazing thing. That's how the Christian life begins, but rarely does it ever stay there. Pretty soon we begin to serve and we begin to involve ourselves and we begin to change. The Holy Spirit begins to change us, sure. And then pretty soon we're a pretty good church member, sitting in service like we should and serving the Lord like we ought to. And so when we come into service the next time or when we sit down to our Bible the next time to read, Jesus is not glorified in our lives. And right then and there, the teaching stops. Because he is not glorified. We begin to look at ourselves and say, I'm a pretty good person. We become too proud to even receive the thing that we desire the most. We have too high of a view of ourselves to receive it. We elevate our service and works to a high position in our lives, and we are no longer servants. We sit in services applying the truths to other people's lives so that we cannot receive it. We become too focused on what it will cost us to give up, so we cannot receive it. We have felt as though we're not being treated or respected or looked up to the way that we deserve, so we cannot receive it. We place too much emphasis on what man thinks of us rather than what God thinks of us, and so we cannot receive it. The Holy Spirit can't teach us because we have too much pride. He wants to glorify Jesus Christ. He wants to lift him up in our lives so that we're in a position where he can take the things that Jesus has given to him and show them to us. But far too often we have too much pride. I know that I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I understand that truth. But I am not on the same level as Jesus Christ. I am still in this flesh. And I still battle with sin. Jesus does not. I still battle with understanding the things of God. There are things that I don't comprehend, and there are things that are difficult for me to apply. Jesus doesn't. I still battle with humbling myself to become obedient. Jesus didn't. I am not on the same level as Jesus Christ, but far too often, we begin to exalt our view of ourselves. And so the Holy Spirit cannot teach us. This is where that carnality comes from. You know, there's a great example in the book of John, and for sake of time, let me just read it to you. John the Baptist was nearing the end of his ministry, and many people had a very high view of John the Baptist, and they came to him comparing him to Christ. He said, and John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. They keep saying, hey, John, you're God, aren't you? You're God. And he's like, no, there's nothing a man can receive except it comes from God. And I have told you with my own lips, I am not the Christ. They were struggling with this concept. He said that he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He said, hey, the one who has the bride, right? That's the bridegroom, and I'm not him. I don't have the church. I'm not bringing that with me. He said, Jesus is going to bring that with him. I'm just a forerunner. But you know what? I'm content in saying that I'm the best man. I'm the best man for this thing. And I'm glad to say I can't wait for this union to take place. But I am not him. And then John makes an interesting statement. He says, you're comparing me to Christ, but let me tell you what I truly think. In John chapter 3, verse 30, he must increase and I must decrease. He said, the truth of the matter is, if anything's really going to take place in the long run here, it's going to be because I submit my flesh to who he is. I'm becoming less all the time. Would you jump back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We already read part of this here, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But the Apostle Paul goes on to explain a little bit greater detail about this spiritual teaching that is going to take place. Verse number 15, it says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Listen to this. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who's got it all nailed down, right? That's what he's asking. Who has the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? I don't know that I can encapsulate it all for you, but what I can tell you is that we ought to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Later on we read, and humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He says, hey, these things, we go in that passage there in 1 Corinthians, these things don't come except by spiritual discernment. Who has known the mind of our Lord that you can instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What is that? We have the challenge and the call in our lives to humble ourselves to the authority that is above us. That was the mind of Christ. He humbled himself to God, the authority above him. And we in our lives have a calling to humble ourselves before God, to glorify God, to lift him up, to make him preeminent, so that the Holy Spirit of God can teach us and instruct us and bring us to the deep things of God. We have too high of a view of ourselves. If we continue reading there in 1 Corinthians, you have to go continue reading through all of chapter 2 there and into chapter 3 and verse number 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." He had just gotten done saying, hey, there's things in the Christian life that the Spirit has to teach you. And I've only ever been able to feed you with milk because you've not grown the way that you ought to have grown through the Spirit. He's like, you're still not even there. I'm trying to instruct you now, and you're still not even there. Why? Verse number 3, for ye are yet carnal. Why? What does that mean? What does carnal mean? It means that for whatever shape, reason, or form, we as a believer have decided we have got a better idea. That what God has called us to is not good enough, that it's too difficult. For whatever reason, again, we have entangled ourselves with the affairs of this world. We don't have the time this evening to go over to Galatians and talk about how, oh foolish Galatians, how is it that you began in faith but have turned back to the weak and the beggarly? What has happened in your life that you've done that? And this is so often why we are not growing the way that we ought to grow. We've got too high a view of ourselves. Isaac and Zach, would you come up here? We'll do it up here just so we don't make a mess on the carpet. Take that, if you would. Take that. Hold that end there, Zach. Isaac, come on down here to this other end. All right, come off to the side. Come over to the side. This is the Christian life right here. Zach, you're man. I want you to hold that bottle right there. This is our life. And this is the things that God wants to teach us. These are the deep things of God. And he wants to be able to pour them out to us. And so he took those things and he gave them to Jesus. He's got more than we can handle. We'll put that to the side. All right? Here, go ahead, keep that tight, keep that tight. We'll try to get this unkinked here. I don't know how well you can see that fluid in there, but there's fluid in there. Go ahead, I'll take that bottle. God has taken those things. We'll just say, I'm God, and here's the liquid, and he's poured them out to Jesus. And Jesus has transferred those to the Holy Spirit. He says, I want you to have these things in your life. I want you to have the deep things. I want you to have spiritual discernment. I want you to be able to open up the book and to be fed. I want you to be able to come to a church service and not have such a high view of yourself. I think a lot of times we have the invitation backward. We need to have an invitation before we even begin so we can get the right perspective of who we are so then we can receive it. The truth of the matter is far too often we're so full of pride. We've got too high a view of ourselves. And all that information, everything that God wants for us, it's just staying over there with God. And every once in a while in our lives, we start to work on things. It's like, man, all right. Things are starting to come, right? And it starts to come, starts to flow. And then the devil stumbles, we trip us up, and we're back. And that carnality creeps in. And that filth just starts to pollute. And God's saying, man, I want you to have this. I want you to get what I want to teach you. I don't want you to be babes forever. Hey, there's too much work to be done. There's too much joy in the Christian life. I don't want you to be carnally minded. I have things I want to pour out to you. I think in a lot of ways, like he talks about in Malachi, of pouring so much out, open the gates of heaven, that you would not be able to contain it. Here's the believer over there, and they're like, it's just, I don't get what they're talking about. Pastor keeps talking about a full Christian life. The believers all around me talk about happiness and joy, and we're over here, where's it at? Where's it at? We're just living our lives the way we want to live them. Right. We're going at our own pace, and that's just not the way I view it. You understand what I'm getting at here. And then, you know, there's that time that comes, and a little bit pours in, and we're like, oh man, it's so good. That's good. But what God wants for us is for us to lower ourselves. Because when we are too lifted up with pride, it can never flow. The Holy Spirit is hindered, and we can't learn. But when we begin to humble ourselves, then He begins to pour out. And when He begins to pour out, we begin to get filled. And then pretty soon, there's a Christian life. There's a believer who has started to get into some deep waters. And this is what sustains you in the storms. This is what gets you through the difficult times. The empty bottle is why so many Christians are unstable in all their ways, because they're double-minded, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Nothing is continually flowing. We look at young people and we're praying for something to change in their lives at this youth rally. Thanks, guys. We're praying for something to help them, to change their heart. And we often look at those events and we say, oh man, those things only had, that was just an emotional decision. I don't believe it for a moment. You know what happens when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all working together? Good things. You know what happens when there's an outpouring of good things from God? That's what happens at these conferences and these events and these revivals even that we have here. These young people get under so much preaching, they start to see themselves for who they are. And then the Spirit of God gets in tune with Jesus. Well, He's in tune. The Spirit of God is able to work with what He's received from Jesus because Jesus got it from God. And all of a sudden, man, there is just a flush. Wow. And it just hits them like a ton of bricks. And then they walk away and that flow stops. And then it was just an emotion. Then it really didn't matter for much. We need a better flow. We need to get more of the deep things of God. Doctrine matters. But we can't get there. Because we're so caught up in the carnal. And it produces weak Christianity. And weak Christians produce weak churches. And weak churches do nothing for the cause of Christ. And the problem is perpetuated. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and instruct us. Hey, you know what? There's all kinds of men who can stand and they can give great messages and they can give details on how you should change your life and what you should do, and I praise the Lord for it. But there is not as good a preacher in all the world as it is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you can say all you want, well, I haven't heard the Holy Spirit say that to me. Well, when have you heard the Holy Spirit speak to you at all? When's the last time he taught you anything? When's the last time you opened up your book and you got before the Lord and it was a pouring out of himself upon you? So much so that you couldn't contain it. Let's be realistic about it. Is it that he's not trying to teach? Or that we're not letting him teach? I know that we all have to grow at different stages. But we all better be growing. And I better be moving forward. And if I'm at the same place a year from now that I am today, it's for one reason. Because I know I'm saved. I've not let him teach me. And I want to encourage you, church, let's let the Holy Spirit teach us. Let's make sure that we are humbled. Let's make sure that he is glorified. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do before the information starts flowing. That's why these hymns are so great. Let me just read. If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me, back to where I started from, and I know you would see, a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, a sinner saved by grace. How could I boast of anything I've ever seen or done? How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom with each breath of life I take. Loved and forgiven, backed with a living, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. The truth of the matter is that if we want to grow, we've got to keep in mind this attitude that we started salvation with. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And then Christ is lifted up and the Holy Spirit can flow. The problem of the Laodicean church: thou art lukewarm, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. What is that? It's a church that's got an elevated opinion of themselves, and the Holy Spirit can't show them what they need. Let's let the Holy Spirit teach us. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening, to be in your church, to speak to your people. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be in a place in our lives where we have not and are not so lifted up with pride that the Holy Spirit can't instruct us. Lord, I want that pouring out. And certainly with that pouring out, there is an overflow of emotion. I have no doubt about it. I've been there and I know what that's like. Lord, I pray that every individual in this room, that we would experience that more often in just our daily walk with you. Lord, that we would know what your presence and your filling and your teaching is through your Holy Spirit. Help us to get to the deep things of God. Help us not to be carnally minded. Lord, may you be lifted up. If you would stand with me this evening, if you would, as the piano begins to play, the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Let's just make sure that you're in a place. Hey, are you sitting here in the auditorium tonight applying that to somebody else? Oh, I wish my husband would let the Holy Spirit teach him.